with SW Concert after these brief messages.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Gravy Cafe, located in both Boise at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue and in Kearns at 3101 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Serving traditional American breakfast and brunch, both locations are open daily from 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Lunch was provided by Horse Brass Pub, located at 4534 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. Open from 11 to 2 a.m., serving British and pub grub. More information at horsebrass.com. Dinner was provided by Crush Bar, located at 1400 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. Crush is an all-inclusive event space, bar, and restaurant, open till midnight or later. More information at crushbar.com. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Eco Film Festival. From Thursday, September 26th through Sunday, September 28th at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. The Portland Eco Film Festival showcases films about nature, the environment, outdoor pursuits, and eco-conscious living. This four-day festival features films such as The Man of the Trees, Our Trails 2, Damned to Extinction, Hike the Divide, a conversation about climate action on the Continental Divide Trail, and many, many more. Again, that's the Portland Eco Film Festival, Thursday, September 26th through Sunday, September 28th at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. Individual screening times and other information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to a special membership drive edition of Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, SW Conser, and today we're talking about two very interesting festivals for fans of dance and this planet we call home. Don Smallman is here. Don is a director and producer of documentary films and the manager of special programs at the Hollywood Theater, not to mention the festival director and programmer for the Portland Eco Film Festival. Don, always a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thanks for inviting us in today, Conch.
And we also have, you brought a couple of people with you, Kat Corey, who's a documentary filmmaker and editor, and Liz Hahn, who is a person whose film Our Trails 2 has been in a number of festivals so far, been affiliated with Women in Film Portland. Liz and Corey, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Oh, and on the phone from Maine, we have Elizabeth Tova Bailey. Elizabeth is the author of the award-winning memoir, The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating, which has been adapted into a short film. Elizabeth, hi, can you hear me all right?
Yes, hi, I'm here in Maine, and it's wonderful to be able to be phoned in there.
Yes, likewise. And just to let everybody know, we'll be joined later in the hour by choreographers and directors from the Portland Dance Film Festival. This is a special hour-long edition of Words and Pictures, but we are delighted to have everybody here from the Portland Eco Film Festival, and this is coming up soon. Don, the guests that you brought into the studio today, Liz and Corey, they're both part of the opening night program at the Portland Eco Film Festival. Is that right?
That's right. And opening night is tonight. We open with a show called Nature for All, and it's a show of six shorts inspired by the idea that nature is a place where different kinds of people connect and fall in love with the natural world, and that quite often the idea and the depiction is limited to a very narrow view of people doing that. And so we're throwing the view really wide tonight's show and celebrating that there's tons of different people who enjoy nature in different ways.
So Nature for All, this show tonight is kind of a microcosm for the whole Portland Eco Film Festival. You have a philosophy that sets your festival apart from other film festivals that rely on the outdoors and ecological themes?
Well, we do a lot. We cover those themes plenty for sure, and things like climate, and we cover a wider gamut maybe than most environmental film festivals, but we're definitely aiming at making a very wide inclusive conversation and a very wide inclusive view of what encompasses nature and what encompasses people who are the champions of nature.
Well, on that note, let's ask Liz, Our Trails 2. Tell us about this film that you've made. It's a short film about really opening up the whole sort of conversation about our environment. And this has gotten a lot of play. It's gotten a lot of really positive feedback. Tell us about how you came about to with this idea of Our Trails 2.
Sure. Well, Our Trails 2 is really about one person's journey to carve out space and community in Oregon's outdoor spaces for people of color and for the LGBTQ community. And the idea was catalyzed by an outdoor adventure themed film grant that came up through the Portland Film Office in partnership with Travel Oregon. And I didn't know Mercy when I saw this grant, but I was really excited because I had been going to this monthly gathering called Queer Adventure Storytelling for a while. It was a monthly event that was taking place. And I knew that somewhere within that ecosystem would likely be a story that would fit in with this outdoor adventure film grant. And so I met Mercy through a mutual friend, and when we sat down for coffee, she was just starting this work, and I remember the look in her eyes that was like that mix of passion and drive and joy, and we just knew immediately that this was our story.
Did you feel going into this that there was kind of an exclusivity to the whole, kind of outdoors community in the sense like that it's sort of presented to Americans, the parks and the trails and all of the events and adventures that are out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that outdoor spaces are one of those things that are tricky because they're ostensibly free and open to all people, but that's not really the way it plays out. And something that I love so much about what Mercy is doing is that she is really focused on building community and resilience through that work of community building, and that is so key to accessing space that can feel like it's not for you.
Now, what will people see when they come to the Nature for All screening and see Our Trails too? I mean, what do you want viewers to come away with, the impression that they come away with from the film?
Well, first and foremost, our primary audience that we had in mind when filming and when editing was people who see themselves in Mercy and can walk away from this screening feeling like their experience was represented on screen, which is not always the case, and feeling a sense of potential community where maybe that's not been their experience before. And then more broadly, this film is about a person who started a nonprofit called Wild Diversity. And while it's about that person and it's about that nonprofit, in some ways it's really more about the why. And so the goal was to make an emotional impact where if this isn't your personal experience, if you don't see yourself in Mercy, you're having an experience with this film that my hope is expands a sense of compassion and understanding and empathy for what that experience is like.
And we also want to talk with Kat Corey about Bodies with Oceans. Corey, this film has been getting huge buzz. It's a really fascinating film about, again, inclusivity. People who don't necessarily look like a lot of the people in the nature films. You know, they're not conventionally, they haven't got those conventional super fit, slim bodies, things like that. This was something that, how did you come into making this film?
Sure. My film Bodies Like Oceans is about the subject of the film is a photographer named Sugar McDaniel, and they do portraits of essentially people in their community is kind of how they started, queer and trans folks out in nature. And specifically, their work focuses on people with fat bodies, people who basically their work is trying to allow people to see the beauty in all bodies or in bodies that we historically perhaps denigrate. And so the way that the film kind of came along was what I wanted to do was so my subject Shug, who's like I said is a photographer, I basically just followed them on Instagram and loved their work, and I wanted to bring that work into film form. What I ended up doing is just kind of following them on some of their shoots. But again, yeah, the goal of their work, which has then become sort of the theme of the film, is about sort of finding beauty in new places and of celebrating bodies and of being able to be comfortable and out in nature and to not feel judged or not to feel like you're being seen as essentially othered in this space, which is nature. And so one of the things that Shug really emphasized in my time with them was talking about, you know, we look at all these beautiful things in nature that we see. We see these massive things like Cannon Beach, you know, or the Haystack Rock, or you know, these beautiful manatees, which make an appearance in my film. But basically, looking at these sort of massive things, and we find beauty in those. And why are we not able to find beauty in people who are of larger size, right? And so that's kind of the comparison that Shug is sort of making in their work. And so that, as an extension, is what my film has ended up being about. But the other part of that is. In that process of filming, one of the things that, you know, I found is being able to find spaces that are really accessible to people who maybe don't have the abilities to go on, you know, long hikes or something. We ended up filming at a waterfall that was incredibly accessible, and it was just really beautiful to be able to be out in nature and to really be able to be ourselves in our bodies. And then the same goes for, we're also in Florida under in these sort of natural springs that are really used by people who live there year round because the temperature actually stays about 70 degrees year round. And so the way that those are set up, they're very accessible. They have stairs and people with arthritis and different conditions will actually go into these springs and use them sort of as like a healing space. I guess that's sort of maybe a little bit longer version of what the film is about. But mostly the film is about finding beauty in all kinds of places.
And if you want to see beauty, you definitely have to look up Shug McDaniel, because Shug, S-H-O-O-G, is an incredible underwater photographer, and you have underwater footage in this film. I'll ask you about swimming with manatees in just a couple of minutes. And we also want to get on the phone with Elizabeth Tova Bailey, whose film, short film, is called The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating. So manatees and snails coming up. But first, while we're bringing you this conversation today, we also want to offer you the opportunity to join KABU, take home some one-of-a-kind thank-you gifts when you call toll-free 877-500-KBOO and talk to one of our volunteers. You can get yourself a pair of tickets to see the Portland Dance Film Festival at the Northwest Film Center. We have several of these passes available, so don't wait. Call 877-500-KBOO and become a member of your community radio station. John and McRae are here to tell you more.
Thanks, Conch. You are listening to KBOO, and this is our fall membership drive. KBOO is funded by our listeners, and we're asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member. I'm John, and I'm a volunteer here at KBOO, and Ray is with me. We're going to talk a little bit about why KBOO is so important for you, and I just love this phrase from your guest there, Kat, who talked about seeing the beauty in all bodies. And, you know, we talk at KBOO, a lot of programming that we've had this morning has been rather heavy news, War and Peace, but it's also about beauty and about artistry and about healing and about music. And so KBOO is such a wide variety of programming for the complete person, body, mind, spirit, and soul. And a wonderful show that Conch is bringing us today about the Portland Eco Film Festival. And if you give us a call at 877-500-5266. Conch, are you still with us about those tickets? Is there a gift amount for those tickets, or I'll
catch up with Conch in a minute.
All right.
We'll get you the detail for the next break, John. But, you know, you're absolutely right. The Words and Pictures is, think of it like a palate cleanser, if you will. After a tough morning of heavy-duty news, now we're getting to focus a little bit on the Portland Eco Film Festival and some of the beauties of nature and humanity's positive interactions with it. And this is just another example of the wide range of cultural and public affairs programmings you get here on KBOO. And this is why we ask our members to show their continuing support, either by renewing their membership or for new members to join. And I think, John, you have the information about the gift for this hour, don't you?
Conch just physically ran into the room and offered me this information here. It's a film, the event is the Portland Dance Film Festival, Saturday, October 5th, and the two pairs of tickets, a pair of tickets for you, any pair of ticket for a minimum donation of $60. So a minimum donation of $60 gets you a pair of tickets to the Portland Dance Film Festival. Those tickets are offered as a gift, and thanks for those who make a gift to KBOO. So please do that right now, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO, or go to KBOO.FM. And we'll go back right now to Words and Pictures.
And you're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Conser, and I am here with guests from the Portland Eco Film Festival. Don Smallman is here, Kat Corey is here, Liz Hahn is here, and on the line we have the filmmaker behind the short film and the memoir of The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating. It's Elizabeth Tova Bailey, and we have a clip from that short film, which we'll play for you right now.
This afternoon, my caregiver brought me a wild snail from the forest. What will I do with a snail? I can't even care for myself. My mind settles down to match its calm, mysterious pace. Its explorations are as inquisitive and brave as those of anyone I know. What does it think of my human world? Is it aware of my presence? Absorbed in snail watching, I find that time flies by unnoticed.
And on the line from Maine, Elizabeth Tova Bailey is the author of the award-winning memoir, The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating. Elizabeth, welcome to Words and Pictures.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful you're covering the film festival.
Yes, we are delighted. This is such a fascinating book and such a meditative movie. How did you, what prompted, obviously this is a memoir, it's real fictionalized life experiences, but tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they go and see the movie.
Sure. Actually, it's not... The book is nonfiction. It's not fictionalized, and it's a true story about a snail I watched for a year that lived at my bed when I was during a year that I was completely bedridden. And the book is packed with a lot of science, a lot of Victorian science about snails and poetry about snails and things like that. So it's a very different experience to see the film, which is a short. To distill a whole book down into a 15-minute film is really a challenge. And the voice you just heard, that was Daryl Hannah, who does the voice over in the film. And it's a live-action film. So one of the main characters is a real forest snail, native to the northeast of North America, and it's a Neohelix albolabris. And so the other main character is a woman who plays me, and I went from being an author of the book to a filmmaker by accident. When the book came out, I wanted to shoot some footage of a snail gliding across moss because I felt like, even having written the longest book I know of about a snail, I wanted people to actually see what I saw, you know, go beyond the words, the visuals. And so I made a little book trailer, and it unexpectedly got a lot of national notice. Got picked up by poets and writers and salon.com. And it intrigued me, and I wrote a grant, and it got funded to make a short film, and that was 7 years ago. So it's been a very long process. I'm extremely detail-oriented, and I wanted the film to really truly capture my experience of watching a snail, and we wanted to capture the adventures of this snail that lived at my bedside. So I had to work with a mushroom specialist to try to find the right species of snail in the forest, and I had a snail consultant I worked with when I was getting toward the last drafts on my book to make sure everything was accurate. And then working with a snail on the set was really challenging. Every animal adds a challenge to a film, and snails are sticky, so things can stick to them, which makes it very expensive in post-production. We needed a lot of understudies because they can get tired. They like heat, humidity, and dark, which is the opposite of what cameras like. And I wasn't even totally sure I would be able to do this, capture the adventures of a snail and keep it really interesting, but it has really succeeded because the cinematography is absolutely gorgeous of this, and the snail is like a ballet dancer. So it really is a sort of an edge of your seat, what is the snail going to do next? And it has been working. It's kind of remarkable. And the book and the film are sort of lovely because they do not, if you have read one, you will still want to see the film. And if you just see the film, you'll find all kinds of more in the, you know, great deal more information in the book of that year. So they complement each other very well.
Well, it sounds as if nature therapy and art therapy brought you out of your bed, and I think these are really fascinating things to bring forward, you know, art therapy and nature therapy to the viewers at large at the Eco Film Festival. And this is part of a film shorts screening called Rebirth, along with such films as Rewilding a Mountain and Becoming Forest Trees. So The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating, this is a personal rebirth, but also you're bringing this out as a message to the viewers at large.
Well, I would not say that art or nature, you know, cured me or changed my health situation, but when you are limited by illness and there are a lot of things you can't do, you have to look at what you're still able to do. And that year, I was still able to watch a snail. And writing was something I could do. Not that year, I was much too ill to write that year, but it was something I could work on daily during years that I was at a somewhat better level. So I think it's more about finding things you can do within whatever your limitations are, and a connection to the natural world is just sort of incredibly important, especially if you're isolated from a normal work environment or isolated from the sort of social or physically active life you would have had before. Art and nature are a couple things that are sort of always there for you if you can bring them into your environment.
And just as you worked with snails as your co-stars, Corey worked with manatees. And what was it? There's a snarky filmmaker back in the past who said never work with children or animals, but you have some great stories about working with manatees, Corey.
I guess so, yeah. So with the manatees, basically, in the wintertime, the manatees will go into these springs in Florida because they stay at the same temperature year-round and the ocean is too cold for them. And Shug, the subject of my film, likes to go and kind of just be around the manatees during the wintertime. And there are these designated spots that you can swim in these springs in some of these parks. And so Shug took me to this park where, you know, occasionally there'll be like one or two, and you have to stay back. You know, you have to stay pretty far back from where the manatees are. But we were able to go underwater and kind of get a view of them. And one thing that I realized when I was there is actually just actually how frequent Shug actually goes, because there's a little stand, a little like snack shop right next to where the place where we swim was, and we were in the water, and I realized that I had that they at this shop they sold like snorkeling gear, so I decided I wanted to like get out and like go check that out, because I didn't really have anything but like little goggles and my underwater camera. And the person who was there was like, oh yeah, is that Shug? Like yeah, they came here all the time. And it was just like a nice little charming kind of thing. But the magical thing was that day there were 12 manatees there. And it was just remarkable and beautiful. And, you know, it's something that I'd never seen before. Like, obviously, like I said, we had to stay pretty far back from where they were. But I was able, you know, to basically, I think in the film, it's sort of a visual metaphor for, again, this sort of idea of fat bodies in nature and how we can find beauty in those and these things that exist in nature. And so I was able to get some shots of Shug sort of like swimming in the foreground with the manatees in the background, and also them sort of like swimming amongst the trees that are there. So yeah, it was great.
So the beautiful photography of Shug McDaniel in Bodies Like Oceans, part of the program, along with Liz Hans, Our Trails 2, the opening night Nature for All screening. And yeah, Elizabeth Tova Bailey's film, The Sound of a Wild Snail Eating, is part of the Rebirth series. And I want to ask Dawn Smallman right now, so give us an overall, so many of these sound really meditative. It, you know, I mean, we hear so many scary things these days about climate, and you've got all these opportunities for people to just immerse themselves in nature and sort of commune with these animals on the screen and all these, you know, beautiful people and beautiful scenes on the screen?
Yeah, we have, over the course of the 4 days of the festival, starting tonight and running through Sunday, we'll have 26 films. And these are selected by a jury. We had over 150 films entered this year. And when the jury members always ask me, you know, what should we be judging on, I, you know, give them a list. But at the top of the list is always cinematic beauty and voice of the filmmaker or the person being featured in the film. One of the other things I'd like to let folks know about the festival is that we pair conservation organizations throughout the weekend, so people can come and see these gorgeous films and then get inspired by these chats after the films with the filmmakers, and then also connect with conservation and other kinds of like animal rights organizations who are featured at tables. And you can walk out of our festival with new friends and new connections questions, new inspiration. And at the top of the inspiration, we're hoping that is cinematic beauty. And one of the things I'd like to compliment all three of our filmmakers here on, and maybe have them say something about it, is I also know filmmaking's a rigorous process. So what do you do to manage to turn a rigorous step-by-step process that's highly technical into beauty?
This is Liz stepping up to the mic here.
Oh, that's a great question. The process of filmmaking for me is such a roller coaster, and I think a lot of creative folks can relate to that. Just high highs, low lows. But in terms of cinematography, I want to give credit to my co-producer Amelia. She was the director of photography. And in terms of that piece, I think the I also want to thank Kerner Camera, or acknowledge Kerner Camera and Gearhead Grip for supporting our production and allowing us to take the cinematography, I think, to the next level, and really led by Amelia in that regard. But for me, the piece of the process that is so exciting is really connecting with the subject and, you know, pushing through those moments where everything feels like it's horrible and like this is never going to be a movie, and like re-grounding on why we're doing this. And there were a few moments that were really important in that process. One of them was when I did one-on-one voiceover work with Mercy, where I intentionally shut off as best as I could that little voice in the back that is always thinking about like how are these moments and the things that Mercy is saying serving this project, and like these sound bites that are so good, and just connecting with her and connecting with my curiosity and allowing for the expansiveness of that to guide the process. So I think just honoring the process and the curiosity and, you know, relinquishing some of the desire to control it feels really like that was a big learning throughout this process.
So letting the film teach you in a way.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, same goes for you, I'm sure, because 7 years later, your film is on the big screen, and I'm sure it's not the same film that you had in mind at the outset.
Sure. I mean, it took 5 years to write the book, but 7 years to make the 15-minute film. I totally agree with what Liz said. The complexity of film is sort of mind-boggling. You have so many different strands. You have, of course, the cinematography, which involves location and set and whoever is in your film. And mine was live action, so that's a little different than documentary. With live action, you actually have kind of a more even detailed level of control if you're aware of it enough to be using it. Maybe that's similar in documentary. And then separately from that, there's the entire sound design. I spent 6 years to get the sound of a snail eating recorded to the quality level I wanted, because airborne recordings did not work. I had to go to someone who was a specialist in sound arts, and we were able to create a substrate recording device to record the sound of the snail eating different substances. And we recorded the vibration through the different foodstuffs rather than through the air. And then there's dozens of other animal sounds of different species in the yard outside the window of the location that we shot and the forest beyond. So there's several dozen recordings of animals from mostly the ornithology lab at Cornell. So it's a combination of the sound and then the voice, casting Daryl Hannah, working with the voice piece, and all of this together has to come together. And you really don't know as a filmmaker till the end what you have. And it can feel very incomplete along the way, because each of these threads is not all by itself a perfect piece or it can't stand alone. So till it all comes together, you really don't know. And there's all the challenges of financing along the way. My film was all grant funded. Scheduling is very complicated, cause, and it's very, you know, everybody's working it every step of the way. It's a totally different technical language, from shooting to editing to sound to voice, and the decisions can be very challenging. So it is. It's a very complex art.
Yeah, and the audio nerd in me is really looking forward to seeing this on the big screen, the sound of a wild snail eating. Elizabeth Tova Bailey, Kat Corey, Liz Hahn, it's been fantastic to have you in the studio. Don Smallman, how do our listeners find out more about the Portland Eco Film Festival?
You can look on our website, portlandecofilmfest.org, or you can look at the Hollywood Theater's website, because we're part of the Hollywood Theater, and find out about shows there, and we hope we'll see folks this weekend.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And I think the Sound of a Wild Snail Eating is on Saturday. Is that correct, Dawn?
Yes, Saturday in our Film Shorts Rebirth at 4 p.m.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm SW Concer. You're listening to The Film Show. We've been talking with filmmakers from the Portland Eco Film Festival, and we're about to talk with folks from the Portland Dance Film Festival. But first, we want to make sure that you, the listener, have an opportunity to become a member of KBOO today. Take a home a one-of-a-kind thank-you gift that's been set aside especially for fans of Words and Pictures. Here are my friends John and McRae with all the details. Hello, you two. How's everything going?
Thanks, Conch. It's going very well. Good morning. You're listening to KBOO, and it's our fall membership drive. KBOO is funded by our listeners, and we're asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and become a member. I'm John, and I'm a volunteer here with Ray at KBOO, and we're excited to be on Words and Pictures and the film show with SW Concer. I really love this show, and if you just tuned in and you missed the first part of it, make sure you go online, and you can listen to, of course, to all the programs on KBOO.fm. Just go to the audio, and you can hear them via podcast that way. So catch this one. It was really a lovely interview with many of his guests, all of his guests, talking about the films that they've made. From manatees to snails to beautiful bodies of all kinds and shapes and sizes. Really a powerful radio show about important filmmakers and their contribution to art and to beauty and to goodness in general. And we do have a gift for you if you would offer your gift to KBOO. Portland Dance Film Festival, Saturday, October 5th at Whitzel Auditorium, and have a pair of tickets for that for a minimum donation of $60, just a couple of pairs. So the first two callers, really, to 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm to get those tickets to the Portland Dance Film Festival. And I know that Conch is going to be talking more about that coming up in the second half of his program. That date and time is Saturday, October 5th. And so if you call our phone number now, those tickets will be yours as a gift for a minimum contribution of $60. Again, that phone number is 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. And Ray, how are we doing today?
We're doing well so far, John, and thank you so much for the lead in here. One of the things I really liked about the discussion they just had about films at the Portland Eco Film Festival is the fact that they consistently referred to the cinematic beauty and the relaxation associated with that. And, you know, whether you're watching manatees swim or snails live their lives and eat, there is something to be said for simply just stepping back from the day-to-day madness and observing the beauty of nature.
I just love the idea of an adventure of a snail. It isn't something you normally think about.
No, you don't. And yet she did it in detail, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing the film. And I think that, you know, this is the kind of cultural and arts programming that you're going to hear on KBOO. You're not going to get this kind of discussion from, you know, the local NPR station or any of the commercial stations. Not this level of detail, not this level of time allocation. And certainly Conch has been doing this for years, putting his heart and soul into it. And so we'd like to ask you to recognize that commitment from Conch and so many of the other culture and arts and public affairs programs here, and show your support by picking up the phone and giving a call to KBOO.FM. Let me get my brain reengaged here.
Online at KBOO.FM.
Give a call to 877-500-5266. Obviously, I've been doing this too long, John. 877-500-5266. We're asking you to become a member if you haven't had the chance to do so yet. And if you are a member, we're asking you to consider renewing at an additional $2 a month above whatever you're contributing now. We appreciate your existing contribution, and we really need the extra little help. If all of our members were to add $2 a month to their regular monthly membership, their sustaining membership, that would add a little over $50,000 a year to KBOO's much-needed revenues and keep us going strong for another 51 years.
So and again, if they make that even $5 a month increase, they'll get these tickets to the Portland Dance Film Festival, yeah. Saturday, October 5th, which is a wonderful gift of $60 or more.
And I think, you know, with that kind of a setup, I'm just going to repeat the phone number one more time, and then we're going to go back to Concha and his participants All right. from the Portland Dance Festival. So again, the number is 877-500-5266, and now back to Concha.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, John. You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm S.W. Concha, and I am back in the studio right now with Kaylee McMurrin. Kaylee is the festival director for the Portland Dance Film Festival, and Jess Evans is here as well. Jess is a filmmaker, a choreographer, and a member, along with Kaylee, of the Sub Rosa Dance Collective. Kaylee and Jess, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Happy to be here.
All right, so this is the third annual Portland yes. Dance Film Fest. Tell us a little bit about the background. Tell us about what viewers, listeners can expect if they join up and go and see what you have to show them.
Yeah, so this year we took submissions from all over the world. We had judges view them all and pare it down to 25 films. We have 20 short films. We have 4 mini docs, and then we have the Oregon Dance Film Commission. And it's going to be all kinds of different dance, and we really look for dance films that match the choreography and the dance with the film world. So it's going to be different from just recording a dance that's happening on stage. It's going to be dance that's made for film, which is pretty cool.
So you have actually choreographed, or you and some of the people who are featured in the program, it's not just like, hey, here's this beautiful Alvin Ailey piece, let's get a bunch of cameras on it. It's like, let's tell a narrative or show a movement through the medium of film that the dance is sort of wrapped around.
Yeah, exactly. So from the very beginning, you start thinking about the story of the film and what choreography goes well to describe that film. And then most importantly, what the camera does to really enhance the dance and the story to complete the dance film.
So what are some of the highlights? I know that both of you have filmed short pieces yourself that not in this year's festival, like in past festivals, but is there an overarching theme, or are there just some highlights that you'd like to talk about?
Sure. Well, the Oregon Dance Film Commission is something we're really excited about. It's in our second year, and that's something that we dreamed up and want to bring Oregon artists together to collaborate to make a dance film. So an Oregon filmmaker and an Oregon choreographer dancer. This year it's Devin Tao and Heidi Deckler Dance. They were brought together and collaborated and made a new dance film that will premiere on October 5th. Also, we have some really great mini docs that we're excited about showing that are highlighting some marginalized people that are just like inspiring and beautiful and courageous. So there's a lot of great stories to tell through that medium, the dance film documentary portion. We have an after party that we're stoked about, and there'll be a live dance film creation at the party. So there'll be a filmmaker, a choreographer, and an editor all working together live, so we'll be watching a film being made.
So this is not an improvised experience. This is going to be something that's really been planned out, but it's going to be happening on the spot at the after party.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's a little improvised.
It's a little improvised.
They plan it beforehand, but they go in there and the dancers will interact with the people who are attending the party. And so at the end of the night, when they world premiere this live dance film creation, you may see yourself in the film if you attend the
party. Hopefully you do.
Yeah.
So what sort of sparked your interest? I know there have been collaborations in the past between the dance community and the film community. Body Vox stepped up a few years ago with a festival, and there were some screenings in dance spaces and mm-hmm. interactive things like that. What sparked this particular project with you folks? And it sort of came out of the Sub Rosa Dance Collective, but not really. It was a bit parallel.
Yeah.
So the connection between Sub Rosa is that Tia, who's also another organizer.
Tia Palomino.
So just Tia and I have danced together in Sub Rosa for a long time and really built a friendship and the ability to work well together. And
because it's a collective, you're very non-hierarchical. You don't have anybody sort of an overarching director, choreographer type. So there's what's coming out of there is something that's really, a bit of a hive mind, maybe, mm-hmm. Everybody's talents all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that really kind of worked well to go into this festival because we were able to come together with different ideas and like I think Jess had the idea for the live film creation, and Tia brings things to the table, and it just kind of like helped elevate and create this festival compared to just one person putting it together, I guess.
Yeah. We, Portland Dance Film Fest was really in response to this really like burgeoning energy around dance film right now, or screen dance, you can call them either. And Kaylee was kind of at the front end of like submitting a film that we had made together to festivals all over the world. And so she got this kind of like front seat of like, oh, there's like, these are all these festivals happening that are about dance film. And Portland doesn't have that. And so we had this conversation maybe 4 years ago before we started this. And she was like, Portland needs a platform for a dance film. And I was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Now's the time. Like, there's a lot of energy around it. There's a lot, like, it's prolific right now. There's new technology. Choreographers and filmmakers are finding each other because it's highly collaborative. Filmmakers are a lot of times not also choreographers, and mm-hmm. choreographers are also generally sometimes not filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And so they have to find each other and make something new. It's an art form that's separate from film using dialogue as narrative, and it's an art form separate from live dance.
Yeah, this is a real talent in being collaborative, is saying, I'm really strong in one area and maybe not in another. Mm-hmm. So I'm not necessarily going to try to be the expert in everything. I'm going to reach out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to learn while, other people might be learning from me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's really where Oregon Dance Film Commission kind of came from, mm-hmm. was just like creating that platform for the filmmaker who is proficient in filmmaking and for the choreographer who has years of choreography in their belt, and just like giving them the opportunity to come together and create a film, and then we can screen it for them for the Portland audience.
And Jess, you were talking about learning from the marginalized community. Mm-hmm. Certainly there's a lot of interesting projects going on with the disability rights community, things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just to speak to a few of our docs that we have, one of them is about transgendered people and their journey feeling embodied and how dance can help them, or really just speaking to what it is to be in your body and feel safe and free and able to express yourself. There's another one from India about marginalized women there who've been through sexual violence, who are coming together and healing and learning what it is to, again, feel safe in your body and expressed, and make a living out of teaching dance therapies. And those are just a few that are really exciting. to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm SW Conser. You're listening to Words and Pictures. We're talking with filmmakers from the Portland Dance Film Festival, Jess Evans and Kaylee McMurrin. And we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. What we want to do first, though, is bring in our friends Ray and John Shuck to be talking a little bit about what is available to you when you start or renew a membership with KABU. And one of those benefits is you can get pass to the Portland Dance Film Festival as a thank you gift. One of our phone volunteers will be happy to take your call. That toll-free number is 877-500-KBOO. John and Ray, how are things going out there?
They're going very well. Thank you. A wonderful show. Good morning. Okay. You're listening to KABU, and it is our fall membership drive, and KABU is funded by our listeners, and that would be you, since you're listening. And so we're asking you to go to the phone right now and dial 877-500-5266, or you can go online, kboo.fm, and become a member. And Ray is with me to talk about how great KBOO is and why do we even need to say it? You've just heard it. What a marvelous program. Words and Pictures here with S.W. Conser and his guests talking about the Portland Dance Film Festival. And we have a gift of a pair of tickets to that film festival. They are yours with a minimum donation of $60. They've donated these marvelous tickets to this film festival. It's October 5th. So get the tickets for yourself or for a friend, and donate to KBOO and help keep programs like this on the air. So right now we have operator at 877-500-5266 to take your call. That's 877-500-5266.
And John, think about that. An opportunity for a member to not only show their support for their community radio station, but score a pair of tickets in the process. $5 a month, and you can take those tickets home with you. And we encourage you to take this opportunity to pick up the phone and give us a call and do it now. 877-500-5266. I just saw Alex walk over and hand John a note. My suspicion is that that note requests a thank you. Yes, okay, thank you.
It's a bell
too.
Ringer. Yes, it's a thanks to Ross for increased his monthly gift to KBOO. You know, and that's one of the things they were asking people to do, just what Ross did just now. Every dollar matters, and we're challenging our monthly sustaining members to increase their monthly donation by $1 or $2 or $5, and you can get these tickets, or more. If all of our monthly donors just gave a dollar or more, that would be an extra $27,000 a year for the station. So that's how just a little bit with everybody pitching together can go a long way. So if you call, please, if you've been a longtime listener to KBOO, we really appreciate that, and we really thank you for your generosity to KBOO over the years. And we're asking folks to, if you could, even a little bit more, $1 or $2 a month more will help us keep the radio on, keep in program. Great programming like SW Conser's Words and Pictures and the film show on the air with his exciting guests from the Portland area talking about creating art and creating life, because that's what art is, right? It's what it's about to be alive. And so give us a call, 877-500-5266, or if you're listening on our live stream, you can go online at kboo.fm. And so we're going to go back to SW Conser and the Words and Pictures.
We're going to go back to them as soon as they put their headphones on. I think they're doing it now. So I think we're ready to go back to them over there in studio too. Conser, are you ready for us?
Thanks, Ray. Thanks, John. Yes, we're absolutely ready to talk some more with Kaylee McMurrin and Jess Evans from the Portland Dance Film Fest, which is running from October 3rd through 6th at the Northwest Film Center. And there's a story behind that, Kaylee and Jess. This is the third Portland Dance Film Fest, and you're really expanding. You're going to be at the Portland Art Museum at the Film Center. In the past, you've been at smaller venues like the Clinton Street Theater.
Yeah, this year we last year we were at the Clinton Street Theater, which we love. We love them. But this year, when we reached out, they were like, "We're really booked up." Which I love. So we were a little bit floating, like, "Okay, where are we going to land here?" And we reached out to Ben Pop at Northwest Film Center just to pick his brain and be like, who do we need to know? What do you know? You've been doing this far longer than we have. And he just really showed up for us, and we had some great conversations. And ultimately, he encouraged us to pitch Portland Dance Film Fest being in partnership with Northwest Film Center so that we could be at the Witzel Auditorium for the whole duration of the festival. So we did that, and it's worked out brilliantly. We're very excited to be there with them, and they've been so supportive and come alongside us and really helping us be seen and elevate mm-hmm. Elevate the game a little bit.
Yeah.
And a lot of moving parts going on this year. You've got the opening night is October 3rd, and the films go through October 5th, including the closing night. But mm-hmm. then on the 6th, you have a workshop, and I'm looking at this here, Portland Dance Film Festival Workshop, Screenwriting and Kinesthetic Exploration for Screen Dance. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think screenwriting for dance film is going to be very different than screenwriting for regular film. Oftentimes, there's no dialogue. So figuring out what movements and the story and what you want to say, how you can convey that through movements. So that's going to be kind of the screenwriting portion. Is with Robert Ulin, he'll take you through tools of figuring out what you want to say and how to figure out movements that go with that. And then for the kinesthetic exploration, that's with Faith Morrison. And she is going to take you to a location and help you figure out how to be inside of your body and what feelings and words come to you in that space. And then you can take those phrases and those words and those feelings and bring them back to your filmmaker or director and further your storyline. I feel, you know, claustrophobic in this space. So how can you move that into, or how can you project that onto screen? How can you put that into your body kind of thing? So it's going to be a full day of two different workshops that you can either come to one or come to both and kind of elevate.
Hosted by Northwest Dance Project.
Yeah.
Who we love.
Wow. I am wondering if you take inspiration from early film, like silent film and early sound film, where there was a lot of dance on the screen. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, I mean, even before Busby Berkeley, there were these, you know, amazing movement centered films that didn't necessarily depend on dialogue.
Yeah. It's interesting because I do think that there's this original world of silent film that is inherently movement based. And then certainly there's been dance film all along. But I think that in the last decade especially, there's just been a huge kind of coming back around to how do we be in our bodies, which is the most like human thing about being a human is mm-hmm. this body. We've seen it in, you know, pop culture, on television, lots of dance, and people who wouldn't normally go see a live dance performance are really excited to tune into TV and watch dance. And so, and then technology also kind of bringing more accessibility for people. I mean, we've had dance films that are on iPhones in our festivals.
Yeah, lighter equipment, certainly.
Yeah. So there's kind of a full circle thing happening, I think, too, that you're pointing to of silent film back to some silent film in a way.
Well, Kaylee McMurrin, you are the festival director
yes.
for the Portland Dance Film Fest. How can people find out more about all these events?
Yeah, if you go to portlanddancefilmfest.com, we have the whole schedule laid out, where to buy tickets, and how to have fun at our festival.
Thank you, Jess Evans. Thank you, Kaylee McMurrin, for talking about the Portland Dance Film Fest.
Thank you so much for having us.
And you've been listening to Words and Pictures on KBOO. I'm SW Concer. I want to thank everybody who's been calling in today and starting or renewing their membership with KBOO. Once again, you can still become a member. We have some of those passes to the Portland Dance Film Fest available as a thank you gift. Call one of our volunteers right now. The toll-free number is 877-500-KBOO. I want to thank all of our listeners today on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. Thanks also to the Oregon Media Production Association for their support and collaboration. The audio for the show will be available later today on our archive page, KBOO.FM. kbo.fm/wordsandpictures. And you can keep up with us on Twitter at Words and Picture. So yeah, before we go, let's talk again with John and Ray. I want to find out how everything's going and see what other opportunities people have to connect with KBOO.
Great. SW Konzer, what a fantastic show. Words and Pictures, thank you. Well, wonderful guests, wonderful topics, and that's what KBOO is all about. Thank you for your service here, your volunteer service of producing this show often here on KBOO, and we want to let people know that there's still time to pick up these tickets to the Portland Dance Film Festival. You've just been hearing about it, and it is coming up Saturday, October 5th, and they've generously donated tickets to this for a minimum donation of $60 to folks who give us a call here at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO, and a pair of tickets to this film festival, October 5th, the Portland Dance Film Festival. And that number to call again is 877-500-5266. Or online at kboo.fm, and that will, of course, help our work in keeping this radio station going and thriving and bringing important artistic programs to your ears. So that phone number again is 877-500-5266. And one of the things that we're asking people is our regular sustaining members, if they would consider, you would consider an increase of your monthly donation by $1 or $2. All of our monthly donors gave just $1 more. That's $27,000 a year. That's how many donors we have, and that's how a little bit can go a long way when we work together. So pick up the phone, will you? Give us a call, 877-500-5266, to increase your monthly donation or become a sustained member if you haven't done that already. So thank you for keeping KBOO going. That number to call, again, is 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm. And we're going to go on to our next program here. This is KBOO Portland, and it's High Noon. And we'll be coming up to that show in just a minute or so. But in the meantime, I invite you to give us a call, 877-500-5266. We've got people answering the phone to take your pledge for our radio station.
And you're tuned to Community Radio, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Grendel's Coffee House, located at East Burnside and 8th Avenue in Portland, offering organic coffee, daily soup specials, sandwiches, and more for breakfast and lunch. Open daily until 5 p.m. More information on the Grendel's Facebook page and by phone at 0503-595-9550.
No, you were perfect. Appreciate it. All right. Good deal. Okay.